Hi and hello, football fans. Make sure you check out the new episode of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. We've got Josh Norman of the Carolina Panthers talking about his contract situation, the Denver Broncos, Batman versus Superman, and beyond. We've got the world champion TJ Ward with a little family reunion here. Maurice Jones-Drew and he get together here in Studio 66. Plus, we're reacting to RG3 to the Cleveland Browns with Handsome Hank. Check it out on iTunes or NFL.com/podcasts.
The Around the NFL podcast is still beefing with the Move the Sticks podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with traditional heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
Listener tweeted at me yesterday, when is Mark coming back? I miss his moodiness.
Well, you know, listen, as long as you're missed, I don't care for what reason.
You're absolutely missed. We missed you. I mean, of all the, and I said this yesterday on Wednesday's show, and I'll bring it up again. Of all the damn days for you to miss, the one where Aaron Rodgers tells a podcast that he saw a UFO.
I you call for vengeance all the time. This is what stirs me up.
Do you want to declare it?
Why don't we have a podcast on Tybee Island the next time Wes is out?
Wow.
Or we'll talk about being like a cynical contrarian the next time Greg is out. Or we'll talk about what it was like to grow up in a coal town the next time Dan's, on a vacation.
Wow. Wasn't easy.
These are all,
I mean, this is
points.
Absurd.
Cynical contrarian.
Absurd. I don't know. I didn't know what to go with for Greg.
You know what? Greg didn't like that. But
he disagrees with his contrarian.
Well, I guarantee Greg does not believe in UFOs, if I had to take a guess.
It was all
you already knew that, so now you're the one pretending things.
I knew it. I knew it because I guessed it 2 minutes ago.
Well, we talked about it.
I'm going to go back and listen because I'm in.
Well, here's the thing that's happened since we talked
about Rodgers. I love when
Greg gets pissed. I've got an update. Great. I've listened to this podcast now, and it's about a lot more than just aliens. It's about spirituality and gets into some very deep topics. And I would recommend it. Go listen to You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes and Aaron Rodgers. It maybe make you think a little differently about old Mr. Rodgers.
Would you say Pete Holmes is now your favorite comedian?
No.
So, Mark, why don't, just so you're on the record, you deserve to be on the record on this, your statement on life outside humanity.
A statement? I mean, I think I'm very open to the idea of stuff beyond what we can understand being around. And I don't understand that whole topic, but I'm open to believing it, yeah.
What would happen to your life if you became convinced that you saw some type of alien spacecraft?
I think it would change your perspective on a lot of things. But also, the one thing that's probably tough is the minute that you go around saying that you've seen anything like that, every know-it-all on Terra Firma comes out to tell you it can exist. You're wrong. No one knows.
But that's just a straw man argument, because I think this conversation that Rodgers has had, and I loved listening to it, and I'm a skeptic. I don't think anyone's come at it with that. I think people are, on the most part, pretty open to the possibility.
I guess what I'm saying in general, people that say that they've had an interaction with aliens or UFOs, are the immediate overall response is ridicule, or you don't believe them.
Not for Aaron Rodgers. Not in this room.
Am I wrong?
This room
like
a typical
am
response,
I wrong? Do people,
for the most part, people want to believe, I think, or they do have some level of hope for belief.
There will always be a segment of the population that will label that person kind of a wacko.
I think it's changed more than where we were in 1947 or whatever when Roswell happened.
Which is funny there. Because there's been no evidence since then to
But if you dig, there is evidence which possible. Is roundly dismissed. That's what I'm saying. Everyone just says there's no evidence. But what is personal accounts and, what is evidence in general?
We should actually, we say it all the time. We'll get into this later on our Unidentified Flying Object podcast. But maybe we should, at some point during the summer, literally have a podcast about alien life. I'm not even joking. We'll make it very clear in the heading. This is not going to be about football. This will be just 45 minutes. Greg is probably not going to be involved, I would assume.
I think he should be.
Why? Because I have a differing viewpoint?
No, because you wouldn't want to be.
I would want to be. You got to have a balance.
It's got
to. Why are you on edge? You're on edge because of what Mark said to start the show.
I'm not on edge at all. You're misreading the situation.
All right. So maybe we'll do that later in the summer.
But right now,
there's a lot of football to talk about still. Good show coming up. I'm going to give this a pre-show grade of B+. And I'll tell you why. Daniel Jeremiah is back on the show today.
DJ?
Move the sticks, of course. Building a mini empire here at NFL Media. This is his time of the year. He is one of the best draft analysts, really, in the entire industry. And I think if you ask, really, ask around the football globe.
Well, here's who you
sure.
can ask.
I'll tell you. They'll say DJ's one of the best in the business.
Here's who you can ask. Two teams in the NFC that offered him big-time jobs, according
there you
to
go.
Multiple
Absolutely.
Reports.
So
that's bona fides.
So we're going to get DJ in here and talk a little NFL draft and what's going on in the QBs and the top of the class.
Carson Wentz Pro Day on Thursday. We'll talk about that with him.
We'll dig in on that. And then we will also get into some news. And there was some huge news that came late in the morning Pacific time or mid-morning Pacific time about a certain quarterback who a big sloganeering quarterback out of Baylor University who had a star-crossed ride in our nation's capital and now calls home a new city. A new city that Mark Sessler has ties to. I'm going to leave it right there. Just for anybody that doesn't read the news or and only
it would
knows,
be weird.
So much.
It would be very strange if you only know the NFL through this podcast and you're hanging on the edge of your seat right now. RG3 signed with a team that we're going to get into.
As if we didn't talk about this team enough. Now right. We've got a whole another couple years of
Wes,
it.
Wes, you were actually crestfallen when this news came down, weren't you?
Well, I just, in my opinion, we already hear too much about the Browns.
No, spoiler alert, bro.
He dropped breadcrumbs all over the place if they couldn't tell by now.
What about that guy that doesn't read any other news?
Yeah, I think
he just paused the podcast and checked the internet. It took about five
seconds. He
doesn't
seconds. Do that.
So you mentioned RG3's name and a city that Mark Sessler has ties to. I imagine
Mark has been to like 14 colleges.
Mark's actually never lived
and
in
lived
Cleveland.
In seven states.
Our listeners weird, have deducing powers greater than that.
Whatever, bro. You just stole that from Carl, our listener.
Sorry, Carl.
With selective ears.
My apologies.
Anyway. Yeah, so we're going to do some news. Then we'll get DJ in here, and then we'll get out of here. A lot to talk about, a lot to get to. Before we do, let's check in with the Irishman behind the glass. What's up, buddy?
I'm just looking forward to the Alien podcast, the UFO podcast. I watch all that weird stuff on TV, so I'm ready to go.
Well, yeah, A-Rod, big Ancient Aliens guy.
Yeah, he was actually wearing
my wife likes that
an Ancient Aliens hat during the interview before any of that stuff came up.
I would wear one of those. I would.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
100%. I've watched some.
Now we know what to get you for a going away gift.
I've watched some Ancient Aliens. See?
You have?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But you just watch like, nah.
No, it's a good show. I mean, I haven't watched a ton, but Emeka likes it. My wife.
All right, good. Let's do some news, bud.
Bruce Wayne meets Clark Kent. I love it. I love bringing people together.
Wow. Little TD action right
Yikes.
There.
Yikes.
I've been waiting like 3 years for this.
Are you excited?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, my God.
I am I'm a big fan of Schadenfreude. Freud? How do you pronounce that?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. The reviews of this movie are awful. Superman versus Batman.
I think you
Dawn
can find.
Dawn of Justice.
See, like, I found ones that are good, so I think you find what you want to see.
My favorite thing was – well, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say one – because that was Lex Luthor as played by Jesse Eisenberg. I read one review. I've been consuming these bad reviews that said that Jesse Eisenberg thinks he's Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight and is just going for it hardcore, only it's not landing on any level.
It's a very odd casting choice.
He's been buried. I liked the tweet. I don't know if it was a retweet that you did, Wes.
It was,
you know what I'm talking about?
Pat Doherty of Roto-World.
Yeah. What was it? It was like what? The movie of like men in costumes?
It
like,
was
fighting?
Like a movie, an adult's movie made out of kids' superheroes is bad?
I'm shocked.
Brandon, you don't like hearing that type of talk, right?
Well, I'm going to stay positive. I mean, yeah, I don't care if people don't like it. I'm going to like it.
Superman remains the worst movie I've ever seen. The one that came out a few years ago.
Man of Steel?
That was the worst movie I've ever seen. It's like willing suspension of disbelief went out in the first 30 seconds and never returned.
A superhero film done well is excellent. Like, The Dark Knight is still one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. But they can go bad. Well, I'm happy that you're excited for it.
Yep, and to all the haters, I don't care what you think.
There you go. I like that. I like that. All right, let's do some news. Yes, Robert Griffin III is now a member of the Cleveland Browns. A move that went down on Thursday. The Browns confirmed it on Thursday afternoon. Rap Sheet reports the deal is for 2 years. It's worth a total of $15 million with $6.75 million guaranteed. Rapoport added that RG3 is set to make $7.5 million in 2016 and $3.5 million coming in the form of a signing bonus. And then you break down, what does this mean? Okay, this means RG3. Ostensibly, he replaces Johnny Manziel on that roster, but it also probably paves the way for Josh McCown being out of town. You don't need two veteran QBs like that, so he's either going to get traded or released. And then you assume, Mark Sessler, that then the Browns go and get a quarterback at the top of the draft. All that said, this feels like, I'm not going to kill the Browns, but I just feels like it's hard to picture a scenario where this is going to work out, that this is the right spot, especially if they're going to ask RG3 to come in and start week one. I don't love it.
I hear you. I think that it would be disingenuous for anyone to suddenly turn around and be super excited about Robert Griffin after what we've seen post-2012. It's really fair. I mean, he essentially couldn't have done more to fall from grace in Washington. The thing for me with Cleveland, anyone watching this team, and what's a little different right now versus, honestly, bona fide any coach they've had since the reboot, is that I think it's fair to trust Hugh Jackson and his track record, that if he brings quarterback A in, it's not a 20-year deal. It's not going to go on forever, but he deserves a little bit more trust than the previous coaching staff or the eight before it to see something he likes in a quarterback and maybe do more with it than the previous group. But RG3 is, at best, I mean, what's the upside here is a complete mystery. I think we're still obsessed with something that happened in 2012, and that's not good with any player in the NFL, especially a quarterback.
Well, I think the upside is similar production but in a different style and play to what Josh McCown did for them, which is why on the face of it, it's curious to me. Like, to me, that is a best-case scenario of RG3 playing like Josh McCown did. On the other hand, Josh McCown's not Hugh Jackson's quarterback, so it's a different system. He knows his system better. I think they've made it clear they really aren't interested in Josh McCown. He believes in RG3. I don't know if it's a good move for Cleveland. I think it is a good move for RG3. I think he landed in a great spot, all things considered, even though they don't have a lot of talent on the offensive line and wide receivers. To have a quarterback's guru type of coach that believes in you, that's willing to pay you $7.5 million this year, which is right on the borderline of like, I'm at the very top of the backups, or I'm at the bottom of the starter. I think that is better than I would have possibly imagined. I think for RG3, he has to be really happy. And if ever he's going to turn around his career, I think he at least has a shot here with Hugh Jackson.
There are two avenues to acquire a franchise quarterback in today's NFL: an early round draft pick, or, as Chip Kelly said when he traded for Sam Bradford last year, the only way I can trade for this guy is because he's injured. And RG3 is a guy who's not the same player anymore physically because of his injuries.
And he didn't play last year.
And the last time we saw him on a field, he was a broken quarterback. He had mechanical issues. He had brain issues. He had confidence issues. He didn't trust what he was seeing in the pocket. He had the yips. He needs to be broken down and built back up again. And Hugh Jackson's the right guy to do that. Can he fix his footwork? Can he fix his confidence? Yeah. Can he fix speed that used to be 4.38 and now can't beat a linebacker to the edge? I don't know. To me, can he fix the fact that RG3's instincts when he runs, doesn't know when to get down? Russell Wilson has the greatest instincts I've ever seen. RG3 has among the worst for when to take a hit, when to get down. Can Hugh Jackson fix those things? I'm very skeptical. I think he's a guy who needs to be rebooted and is a long-term project, not a guy who's going to start week one.
He got Chase Daniel money when you break down the contract, and Chase Daniel got paid because he's a backup in Philly, but there is an idea or a thought that not only could he end up getting ahead of Sam Bradford, but potentially be the solution there. That's why I don't quite get the move from the Browns standpoint. RG3, and this is when we're talking darkest timeline on the last podcast, the darkest timeline to me for the Browns was you sign RG3 and then talk yourselves out of drafting a quarterback at the top of the first round because you think you can make that work. I hope that's not what's going to happen.
I would be stunned.
I hope that's not what's going to happen. But the reason, I mean, when you look at the money and you look at what the most likely scenario is that they get somebody at number two, why would you pay more money to basically have a placeholder? I don't quite get that. Why not just keep Josh McCown in that case?
But I mean, then you're arguing for Josh McCown, and I think the one thing that we throw out the window sometimes with this is that Josh McCown was never someone that Hugh Jackson pursued.
Right. No, but I'm not arguing for Josh McCown. I'm saying
I don't think the money's too crazy.
The money is for the Cleveland's cap room.
It's a one-year deal, ultimately. I think his agent did a great job because it doesn't seem like there was much competition for him. So I agree that he seems like a couple million dollars overpaid. But ultimately, it's a one-year, really good backup type of deal. So that worked out well for RG3. But it's a one-year deal. I mean, I think, to me, it's about 50-50 whether this guy's on the roster in 2017, because I'm not, you know, I just think they'll draft someone, and that's going to be the
guy. And also, we can hear this all the time with, you know what, we're going to draft Marcus Mariota, but we want to redshirt him. Oh, we want to redshirt Blake
Nobody
Bortles.
Nobody does that anymore, really.
Well, but they talk about it. With Blake Bortles, they talked about Chad Henne is going to start all 16 games, and we had sandwiches right away. What week are we going to see it? And it was early as week three. And the reality is, I don't think RG3, if they draft someone at number two, I'd be surprised if he's the week one starter if that young quarterback shows promise.
Why are you paying that much money then if you're going to just put him on the bench?
How much did you want them to pay him? So they can't get him for less, and he waits until someone needs a quarterback more. I mean, then what? You have to chase after Ryan Fitzpatrick. You have to chase after Kaepernick. They don't want McCown. They don't want any of the quarterbacks they have.
It was the guy they wanted. Money's a factor because Fitzpatrick wanted more money. He also probably, in his heart of hearts, just wants that more money from the Jets. So what were you going to do? It does show a level of belief and interest, I think, in RG3 that I'm surprised about. When I saw the money, I thought, okay, they do see him as that 1B sort of option, that he has a good chance to start week one. I don't think anyone can say, the plan is for him to start week one. Well, that's great. They have not seen him on a field.
The
number two overall pick in the draft is going to be on right next to him. And if one guy's way better than the other, right, you're not going to sell to the team that we're going to start RG3.
Here's why I don't believe that. RG3 right now, 2016, is more of a project than the top prospects coming out of college.
The Browns, this is not about salary and not about analytics or anything like that, but the other thing that struck me is something I was a little turned off about. It was just, you know, the Browns have 24 starters since they came back into the league in 99, and they're kind of a cursed franchise at quarterback. RG3, he just seems to be a lot of bad juju around putting RG3 and the Browns together. It's hard for me to, like, picture a scenario where this works out.
A question for you, and I hear what you're saying, but you had a sandwich on RG3 going within the first 48 hours.
72.
So that really only would surround a couple teams. And at this point, really only the team that was probably going to pursue him was Denver and Cleveland. I don't have a huge problem with them going after him, but if you're going to say they shouldn't have done this, you have to have another solution. And the solution is definitively not on the roster.
Well, the solution is the number two overall pick.
But then they're going to get killed for throwing a number two pick behind a diminished offensive line in an offense with no weapons.
But that's what the NFL is now.
I think you have to have another option for the number two overall pick. You can't just say he's definitely starting no matter what.
Well, Josh McCown.
It's just a little surprising that it's RG3.
But you're ignoring the fact that the current coach doesn't want Josh McCown.
Yeah, but
it's okay for us to question that.
It's fine to question it, but I'm questioning the fact that if you're going to say this is just bad because RG3 is bad karma and all this thing feels Cleveland's cursed.
No, I think it's on multiple levels.
But you have to have another solution. And if they don't want...
That's my solution.
If they don't want McCown, though...
You're asking my solution. That's my solution.
So you're saying that you would just do something that the coaching staff doesn't believe in, basically.
No, you're asking me, like, if I was the coaching staff, if I believe in a number two pick as a quarterback, I'd keep McCown as my backup at $4.5 million, whatever it is.
I mean,
get my guy and start him week one.
McCown has shown no more ability to stay healthy than RG3 or anyone else.
It's cheaper, though.
Barely.
With a team with a ton of cap room.
Right.
What is the deal? They can cut him next offseason.
I'm not gonna kill them for the money.
They're going to get killed no matter what they do.
I don't think they win.
Yes, they will.
They deserve to be, too.
That's fine, but they're going to be, too.
It's not so much about the money as just like Wes said, the last time we saw him, he was broken down. He didn't play at all last year. Two coaching staffs have given up on him. Right now, he was at a low point in his career, and this is a great opportunity for him, better than you would have expected. For what it's worth, Josh McCown, $4.3 million, so they're going to pay, you know, RG3 about $3 million more than that. Nothing too crazy.
All right, let's move on. I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about that situation as it develops.
RG3 in Cleveland. I mean, it is. We are gonna. It is kind of. They are asking for it. You know what I'm saying? They are asking for it. It was not a move that's afraid of getting criticism because they know people are going to be watching this.
Yeah, and I think part of it with me, Mark, is like same thing with Asashi hire and stuff. For this off season, I'm just taking a more skeptical stance on.
I don't have a problem with.
I bought in the past, like along with you, with different things, regimes and moves they've made. I don't know. I'm just a little more step back with them this year. We'll see what happens. The Colts have a new cornerback. His name is Patrick Robinson. They announced Wednesday that he signed a 3-year contract with $14 million, $6 million guaranteed. He's a former 32 pick in the 2010 NFL draft, 5 up and down seasons with the Saints, number 79 on the top 99 free agents list. Wes, is this an upgrade in the backfield in the secondary for the Colts?
It is. Patrick Robinson was once a guy who used to check under his bed for Dez Bryant before he went to sleep because he got torched by him so many times with the Saints, but he rehabilitated his value in San Diego last year. He had a really good season. Can play the slot or outside. I think he'll probably end up in the slot in Indianapolis. Maybe he'll take Greg Toler's spot opposite Vontae Davis, but he's a good player.
It's all about timing in life. You know, Patrick Robinson signs in the first 24 hours of free agency. He's lucky if he gets into the speed round. You sign on March 24th, he's the number two item. And it's timing in free agency, too. I think the Colts deserve some credit for not going too crazy in free agency this year. And I think this is the perfect type of second wave of free agency move that they – it's like, how much worse is your team really going to be because you have Patrick Robinson versus, say, Janoris Jenkins next year? I don't know. Maybe it will be a lot worse.
That's a good question.
But I don't really know. And they're going to get him for, like, $3 million on a small deal.
And with the draft coming up, because Dallas was pursuing him as well, I think it makes Dallas a clear potential to go defensive back very high in the draft.
They need a lot.
It's a huge need.
So many needs, the Cowboys.
In other news, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had the first overall pick in last year's draft and took Jameis Winston. That left Mike Glennon in limbo with the franchise. He's viewed as a talented quarterback that had some success before Winston got to town, and there's always been speculation, it feels like for years now, that he's going to be traded. Glennon, Dirk Cutter, the Bucs coach, said Wednesday that the idea of trading Glennon scares him a little bit. He said, a little, yeah. I'm on record saying that I think Mike Glennon is a starter in the NFL. I'm a huge Mike Glennon fan, so I'd love to have Mike Glennon, just say Mike, bro, on our football team. But it's a business, and if something happens that he's not with us, well, that's why we acquired Ryan Griffin last year. Yes, we always talk about that Ryan Griffin trade from last year. But so, Mike, it sounds like
former Tulane starter, by the way, Ryan Griffin.
Bang. It sounds like, Greg, that the door is open for a trade, and it still makes sense, and I'll throw, you know, my Jets out there to kick some tires on Mike Glennon.
Well, Chris Wesseling has been at the front of this story.
Chris and Mike Francesa, by the way.
Well,
if anybody
that
listens
Mike
to Francesa,
Glennon,
this is the third offseason where Glennon trade talk has become huge.
But Wesseling is really pushing this Glennon to the Broncos narrative.
Well, here's why it's interesting.
Narrative.
What is
it's
it?
Interesting to me like on so many different levels. First of all, I guarantee you there are coaches in the NFL, there are scouts in the NFL who think more highly of Mike Glennon at $675,000 this year than they do of Brock Osweiler at $37 million.
You're saying if you even took out the salaries,
even if
they
you
would
take
like
out the salaries,
okay,
there are scouts and executives and coaches who would like – Glennon has a stronger arm. They have essentially the same QBRs and passer ratings. Glennon did it with lesser talent around him. He's more proven than Osweiler too. From the Bucs' perspective, it's really interesting to me because he's entering the final year of his rookie contract. They have holes on that roster. They're different than the Bengals with McCarron. The Bengals are a Super Bowl contender. With McCarron having 2 years left on his contract, they shouldn't trade him. But the Bucs, do they have the luxury of sitting on Mike Glennon and losing him next year?
Get 4-year contract.
You can pick up a second or third round pick and get a starter on a roster that needs starters. And if Jameis Winston goes down, your season's over anyway.
I couldn't agree more, because why not?
You're not going to the playoffs with Mike Glennon in that roster.
Right. Sell high. I mean, at the meetings, I was trying to, if I ever saw anyone on the Bucks, who were they sitting with? Who were they talking to? Because that's when that, I thought maybe it goes down. That's who the, when they have those conversations. But Glennon, at this point, you can get something for him. There are teams that legitimately need a quarterback. The Jets would be very interesting. And Glennon, in the pre-draft process, was raved about by some people. People that look at certain NFL quarterback types and say, this is what you want. Glennon did all that. And then I think as a starter, he showed enough where why not take a chance?
I thought he was good as a starter. I mean, I wasn't the only one that I was really impressed with him as a starter. I was more impressed.
I was
you
not.
Know, than Brock Osweiler.
I think you have, but wait, you're...
He fails my basic test for quarterbacks. He goes two or three quarters without moving the offense, and that's why he got benched for Josh McCown.
I look at Glennon, and I want more patience with all these quarterbacks, but someone that if you have to trade a mid-round type pick for this, and it probably would be more than that at this point.
I think...
But what do you get? You get in the third round in most drafts? If you look at most third-round picks,
right,
so many of them
you
go
get
nowhere.
You Mike Glennon 3 years ago. I'd rather have him now.
Absolutely.
How about the mood, by the way? You mentioned, you know, start the show, you know, our listener missed the moods of Mark Sessler. And I did an NFL Now hit a little earlier. And I would put Mark Sessler's mood after coming off of annual meeting as energized and thrilling.
Thrilling.
Have not slept in 2 nights.
Well, I know, but you've been a lot of energy, very positive. Like, you seem like you're engaged, like you are crushing the NFL world right now. You know you're coming off a big week, and you're feeling your oats.
Kind of like a live wire right now.
I am counting the clock until my show ends.
I was being genuine.
The Giants lost 10 games last year. 7 of those defeats came by a combined total of 18 points. In 5 of those losses, they had a lead with a minute and 45 seconds to play. It was a problem. So Ben McAdoo, the new head coach, who is the new head coach, but the old head coach is strolling around in a scooter going to the whirlpool at the Giants facility. Hey, Tommy, go home. Tommy. Hey, Tommy, you did good things for us.
It's very weird.
You gave us 2 rings and a lot of dignity and a lot of class. Well, go home, Tommy. Time to go home. Ben McAdoo has formed a 6-person game management team to identify and correct Big Blue's big problem with closing.
But you hire a 10-year-old who's played Madden.
Madden does teach you a lot about clock management. But
It's a task force for this. Just throw money at it.
It's kind of the thing that
coaches do. I don't think they're hiring outside.
No, it's inside guys. They'll meet once a week on a Friday or Saturday morning. He's trying to be proactive. I feel like this is something a new head coach does because he just wants to do something and
he wants
to make
it. Doomed in New York.
You think so?
Yeah, come on. He's got a 6-person task force to fix something that any coach in the NFL should know how to do already.
Well, Andy Reid can't do it, and he's a good coach.
Well, Andy Reid's a good coach, but he's horrible at clock management. I'm just saying there are ways to do this. Why don't you hire one analytics guy?
Well, it's one thing that I would
– 6 is better than 1. That's why, Wes.
Give me a break.
I would never tell anyone that you've done this because immediately it's –
It becomes a joke. Yeah.
Right? Let me listen. We're talking about it. We're giving it zero credence on
he
any level.
He said they did it in Green Bay. That's where he got the idea.
Well, but
after they had the same sort of troubles, and then they made a little.
I'm sure they're not.
Green Bay still got those troubles.
But they're not the first team to do it or the last, but you don't. It's a bad time to advertise this.
Did you see Ben McAdoo in Florida?
Yeah.
Did he get new wardrobe yet to match his weight loss?
Or is he still wearing like
he looked
double
good to me.
Is he wearing like double XL polos on a 180-pound frame?
He looked his clothing fit.
I think he had corrected that by the combine. There were some comments.
I think like a lot of Giants beat writers, and we could ask Connor but talking just a few of the guys that like Tom Coughlin, outside of a few small instances, was not easy to deal with.
Right.
And I think that they were saying that Ben McAdoo was a breath of fresh air for them covering the team. Who cares what they think, maybe.
You told me one quote. A guy was like, Ben McA, booyah.
I did not hear that from anyone, no.
This story
would
reminds
me.
Would
it be cool, though, if somebody did say that?
Yes, it would be. You just did, so it is cool. Yeah.
This story reminds me of the one thing I really took from Michael Lombardi when he worked there. He always said they never make statues for committees. They're never going to be like, that task force, those meetings, that's what turned this ship around.
And finally in the news, Reuben Randle, a former New York Giant himself, wide receiver, has signed a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, a one-year contract worth $3 million with $500,000 guaranteed, ranked number 92 on our list of the top 99 free agents.
If you haven't
free agency,
why not?
Problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but
free agency
ain't one.
Whenever you can do it. Running out of time to do it, you know, Wes?
Patrick Robinson was around 72 or something.
You know, we're told quite often that if you can say something on the podcast, you should be able to say it in writing. Reuben Randle's a challenge for that. How do you trash the guy in a story? How do you say this guy's lasted so long in free agency and the Giants got rid of him because he's a lazy route runner, doesn't show up to meetings, and is responsible for an abnormal percentage of Eli Manning's interceptions? Mm.
Sam Bradford, he's all yours, baby.
I said yesterday, I tweeted out, the Sam Bradford to Reuben Randle connection is going to be the Goldilocks.
In fairness, he's basically replacing, you know, Miles Austin.
Oh, it's an upgrade over Miles Austin.
Veteran we don't really want on the team, number four receiver. So, yeah.
Isn't it crazy that you're guaranteed in this profession, he's going to make $500,000 to be a guy that nobody has really any expectation.
More than that.
No, guaranteed, wasn't it? $500,000?
He'll probably make the team, right?
Probably, yeah.
I'm just saying, even if he – let's say he just absolutely stinks it up and he's out, he still makes
– Oh, it's a good,
that reminds,
it's a good gig.
We talked about the rules we'd want to change in the NFL.
Yeah.
I should have gone against the catch rule and said I would like that now NFL media NFL insiders are no longer allowed to repeat guarantees because they keep messing it up and they can't distinct – They can't make a difference between fully guaranteed and guaranteed. You've mentioned this
before. Guarantees.
I think we should only report signing bonuses, and that's it. Mm.
So the long arm of Roger Goodell now extending into the media, telling them what to do. That it's a big step that they would be taking.
Well, he does have a pretty long arm.
Let's get into that a little bit more. Should he have that long an arm? Mark, you go first.
I will defer to Wes on this.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. By the way, I should surface this because it was quite wild. I got a tweet. One of our listeners, Vinny Houseplant.
Yeah, Vinny.
Hey, old Vinny Houseplant. I don't know if he is in the band or if it's his buddy's band or if it's even a band at all, but it's a group called Six Car Collision. Released a single, Greg. I don't know if you heard about this, called Hairs Us.
That's right, yes.
And lyrically, the song is entirely comprised of tweets from my history, and it kind of sounds like a Pavement B-side. I actually kind of like the song, even if it wasn't about my hair. Can we hear a little bit of it, Brandon? Let's give it fresh ears, honest ears, and then give a nice review of it. Let's play, you know, to the chorus, through the chorus.
Originality is burning, reminder of the darkest timeline. My heart aches for Dwayne Bowe. Piven's hair is sentient. Don't forget Jersey, yes, your love is a super personal hardship.
Hair Respects Hair by Six Car Collision. Mark Sessler, your review.
Promising. I feel like the high school version of me might have had that on a mixtape or something.
It's got a post-grunge sound to it.
Yeah, definitely Pavement's way off base as a.
You think
how about
so?
Pete Yorn? I mean, maybe it's a little Pete Yorn. Yeah. You know, the production value is.
I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, that's sort of off base as an opinion. That's like a shot.
No, I mean, I'm saying just as a touchstone, it feels more like a Pete. Yeah, Pete Yorn's
could be
probably
Petey.
The best I got.
Could be Petey.
Kind of that singer-songwriter, soulful.
This is the only song that this band has released?
I could dig into that a little bit. Maybe they are doing songs about all of us, but Six Car Collision, Hairs Us, is the only one I'm aware of right now. So good job, guys. Thank you for that.
So you now have two songs for you, and none of the rest of us has any.
I'm a muse for the audience, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. Listen, the door's open. I would love to hear a song about Greg or Wes or Mark. If anybody's out there with a musical heart.
I'm fine with the way it is right now, but if they want to do that,
that's why it's got to be Mark. All right, let's get to DJ. You know, we haven't had this man, and when I say man, I mean man, in the old Studio 66 in some time. He is the co-host of a popular podcast on NFL Media, one that I admire greatly. Bucky Brooks is his co-host, but the man to my left right now is Daniel Jeremiah, a.k.a. at Move the Sticks.
I thought you were getting ready to say the man that carries it, Bucky Brooks. We couldn't get him, but we settle for Daniel. Get him in here.
Yes, Daniel Jeremiah, and I'm looking right now at your Twitter page.
Give it to me.
A nice graphic here in black and white.
So that is for I say the show wrong. It's Mock Draft Live.
Okay.
It's launching next week. So they have a bunch of this animation. And when you look at that picture, I got a friend of mine that runs, is big in the tourism industry down in San Diego. He's been wildly successful. He's a funny dude. And looking at this picture, he said, it's a Toontown font with an OG glare.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the way he described that.
I like that.
It's accurate.
I thought like maybe one of your kids made it for you because it does have that type of like
a cartoony look. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, and then you have like a Snapchat image, which really speaks to what's going on. And when you talk big picture with DJ
right season
now,
right now,
it's DJ season. You're branding yourself. You're an important figure. You know, Daniel actually sat down and said, I got 22 minutes. You know why? You were big timing us. You got like 14 shows you got to do.
There you guys doing a lot of stuff. The Snapchat thing, true story. I had signed up for it a while ago, and I'm like, only, you know, and Bucky even said, only like 13, 14-year-old girls do Snapchat. Come on, dude. You're not doing Snapchat. Then Helly has just gone all in on Snapchat.
Oh, he
so
loves it.
Just to bust on him, I started cranking up my Snapchat, and so then I'll just, dude, I mean, is anybody even watching
what
things?
What come is on. It, though?
Do you have?
I have
well,
no
it's
idea.
What it's get, like live uploads.
We are really dating ourselves.
Yeah,
no, that's okay. I actually, true story. I have nieces and nephews, and I would call them on the phone and be like, "How do I do this? What does this do? Okay, I don't want to send out. How do I send it out to everybody? Like, it's literally been a learning process to kind of do it, but it is kind of fun. That's how they communicate now. I mean, really.
I have one too, but I signed up about 6 months ago and have not logged on since.
And what's the icon? Why is it a ghost? I have so many questions.
Yeah, that's a great question.
So it's
question.
Just texting.
Well, it's video text. It's video. You can take pictures or videos, but you just send them to your – and then it goes away.
Whatever.
Right. There's no history, away. And that's
– Oh, that's why the
problems.
Teams like it.
Anyone 30 or under listening to this right now is just going, oh,
that's so
just,
bad.
Like,
we're so
smacking
old.
Their forehead. Yeah. Oh, Dad.
But why do
– I think they know who we are.
Why do you need it?
It's the
why
wave
do you need
anything?
You could ask that about so many things that we're doing online right now.
Dan, though, when you're asked a question about this kind of stuff, I always come back to the old saying, it's better to hop on a moving train than to get run over by it.
Ooh.
That's right.
That's inside a fortune.
Over.
That's a fortune cookie.
It is.
It's right there.
All right. So, Daniel Jeremiah, former scout, former college quarterback.
Not a very good one.
A man that's been involved in front offices for NFL teams. That's
and still being
say, right?
recruited.
By Nearly him. Was again.
He is, if you read reports out there, this all goes back to DJ is on the top of the mountain in this time of the year. So let's talk about it. And we are the first to say, DJ, we always are on the Around the NFL podcast, that we are not college savants. We really plug in on these guys for the most part on draft day and moving forward. So we need to lean on an expert like you to help us out. So
why the heck is Arnold from Different Strokes on your piece of paper right now? Can we discuss that before we get into the draft?
Right. What I'm holding in front of me for people listening is the rundown of today's episode. And sometimes I like to put a cute little image
that has nothing to do with it.
Underneath the rundown, it just like lightens the room and like
I don't know if spirits. You guys are going to talk about like Willis McGahee or something, and then
no, there's
kind of roll through with people, like what literally talking about Willis or what
you Lot of McGahee.
Who is the Willis McGahee of this? Draft?
That's what I'm saying. You know, we'll see. We've got
the
Miles
linebacker
Jack
from Notre Dame, right?
Or Miles Jack from UCLA.
All right, well, let's get in with the. Let's start right there. Jalen Smith, right?
Wow,
big knee injury.
Yeah,
Knee injury that has led to much consternation. But there is it fair to say he's almost like an X factor of this draft, a guy, a monster talent, if healthy, could go at the top of the draft, and he's kind of a wild card right now.
18 minutes left. he is – look, he would have been in the mix to be my number one overall player. The highest grades that I gave out this year, just off the tape, Laremy Tunsil, and not to get way in the weeds, but like so it's a 6.9 grade, right? and I gave the exact same grade to Jalen Smith. Those are the two highest grades I handed out just based off the tape. So from that standpoint, he's in the mix to be my number one overall player with
Tunsil. Just on a 7 scale or an 8 scale?
Goes to 8. I've given out one. I gave out one 8-0 in my career. And
who
I'll
is
never,
that?
I'll never do it again.
Clowney.
Courtney
no,
Brown.
No, this is going back when I was scouting. So you got to go. Do you want to take a couple guesses?
What position?
DeMarcus?
He ended up being the second pick in the draft.
Oh.
Robert Gallery?
No.
Robert
Griffin
III?
III?
No. Goes back further, a little bit further than that.
Yeah, you got to think when
Sessler is just a computer over here. He's
yeah.
Taking it
one
all.
One more guess.
Well,
to make it a good one. One more guess. Number two.
Well, he's supposed to be a transcendent player, and I just went all in on him. He did not end up being a transcendent player. He had a solid career. It might be over now.
Reggie Bush.
Yes.
Interesting.
Highest grade I ever gave for Reggie Bush.
In the you building know, today.
Gale Sayers, they said.
I was reading the John Feinstein book, which DJ is a big, big player in.
Really?
About the 2004 Ravens season, and he says that the only unanimous 8.0 grades in NFL history were O.J. Simpson and Bo Jackson.
How about that? Yeah, we very rarely give him out.
So he's injured. He's coming off an injury, but do you think it would be crazy, for instance, for Tennessee to take him one or even Cleveland if they didn't want to go quarterback at two? Is that that
what
crazy?
Are you talking about
then? Jalen Smith? Yeah, sure. Nah, like, why is that that crazy? Then? If he was the best player on tape, why isn't it – aren't they almost over? You're almost overrating the injury because it happened last year.
But it's a major injury.
Okay.
It's not a standard ACL. And I'm not a doctor, but when you talk to people around the league and you start hearing names of Marcus Lattimore and Ifo Ekpe-Olamu and these guys, I mean, it does. That's not
love a little Ifo.
I know. I knew you'd appreciate. You see, I looked at you when I said
Ifo.
No, but I mean, like these.
He's literally the only person in America that's written articles about Ifo that does not live in Cleveland, and he's written like. Or
you, well, when you can get him where they did in the 7th round, but where would?
But are you? Gonna, but you don't know what you're gonna if you're ever gonna play.
I mean, Greg, from a PR angle, if you take an injured player at 1 or 2, I'm gonna tell you that's gonna be tough for you as a GM, Greg Rosenthal, the GM, to message to the city.
Well, it's gonna happen. I mean, he's gonna get taken early. Miles Jack is going to get taken early.
Miles
Maybe
Jack's,
it's not number one overall, but they're in the mix.
Miles Jack's going to get taken early. From what I've heard from teams where their doctors are on Jalen Smith, he's not going to be selected early. I mean, so we'll see how far into the draft that we end up going. I don't know. Lattimore ended up being, what, a 4th-round pick, I think, for the 49ers and never saw the field. So that's a cautionary tale there. And I hate it because he is a great player.
If you weren't going to take Tunsil one for Tennessee, what do you think the other options would be?
First and foremost, I think they would love to get out of there if they could. If there's a market to get out of there, I think that'd be their first choice. But if not, if they sit there, I think you look at Tunsil. You look at Jalen Ramsey as being another option there. I think they probably bring him in, put him at safety, which is weird. I mean, we've never seen somebody go up there. And every time Charles on Path of the Draft, when he mentions that, or Bucky has talked about Jalen Ramsey doing that, all I can think of is Shooter from Hoosiers. No school this small has ever won a state championship. Like, that's just, okay, sometimes.
Well, what is special about Ramsey? I mean, the buzz on him is huge.
He's, first of all, just the character, the intelligence, the work ethic, all that stuff that you don't see, that you hear about, is just off the charts. Ultra competitive, all about football. That's all he cares about. He's played nickel. He's played safety. He's played corner. He's versatile. He's a rare athlete, and he's a long jump champion in the ACC. So he checks kind of all those boxes, and he hasn't – he hasn't mastered every single one of those positions because they have moved him around. But I think once they kind of settle him in, I mean, he can be an all-pro.
Is it like a honey badger situation?
That's what I said, and actually I've had a team friend that said to me he's a bigger honey badger.
Or Michael Huff.
You know what? We love Michael Huff. We love Michael Huff in Baltimore. Never had that type of a career. But it was, again, with somebody that played all over the place. Right. This kid is physically stronger and tougher than Huff.
Well, you were on the air today watching Carson Wentz's pro day. That's the big
it's a good one.
News of the day. And the just watching you guys and seeing some of those 55-yard bombs and the talk coming out of it almost reminded me of the reaction after Jamarcus Russell's pro day.
Wow.
I mean, it was people were loving this pro day. Like, what were your thoughts on that pro day, and does it make him even more likely to go number two?
Well, it's one of the better pro days I've seen. And, from this vantage point, you know, being there is different. When you're live, you get a better feel for it. But just in terms of the 4 years I've been doing it here, of all the workouts of these quarterbacks, that was as good as I've seen, just in terms of velocity, accuracy, being able to change ball speeds and stuff, which is big, and that's something that you saw there. The difference is, you know, with the Jamarcus Russell and this type of a comparison, obviously totally different kids and what was said about them off the field. Plus, even on the field with Jamarcus, a lot of fastballs. I didn't know he had a great touch, and I will say I gave a big grade to Jamarcus Russell on the field. But this kid is really got the ability to touch it up and make some variety of throws.
Were you concerned about his abilities with a wet ball?
Oh, yeah, the water bottle.
I don't know. I mean, I watch that, and I'm like, what is going on? Are we a little too much sometimes, you know, pouring Gatorade water on a ball?
My take on it is this was the North Dakota State Pro Day. Obviously, Carson Wentz was the main attraction. This is kind of their school's deal. So this is the, you know, scripted workout. Let him go through that. If you want to bring all the water bottles and do all the stuff you want, if you want to have him throw a medicine ball instead of a football, schedule up your private workout with him and then go do that. But it just seems like the workout's over and now all of a sudden the Browns come in and they get to call the shots on what happens here. It's just kind of goofy to me.
They were the only coaching staff there?
I guess the only head coach there is what I
because of weather, though, too.
Yeah, it was a tough time getting into Fargo.
Speaks
to
Hugh's commitment, just driving through a blizzard in an old truck.
The previous regime sent nobody to pro days for quarterbacks, so you have to. It's good to just get someone in there to watch.
Do you think he's a Hugh Jackson type of quarterback? I mean, if he's number two and they take a quarterback, and I know, you know, we already talked about Robert Griffin III is now there, but let's still assume that they're likely to take one of those two. Do you think Goff or Wentz is more of a Hugh Jackson style of player?
The hard thing is when you have been in the league as long as Hugh Jackson, you can make a case for either guy, right? You can look at it and say he's had Carson Palmer.
He's had Joe Flacco. He's had Andy Dalton.
That's what I'm saying.
Jason Campbell.
These are all different shapes and sizes and styles of quarterback play. So I don't know that there's one, you know, between him and Goff who really fits with Hugh better. I just say from having worked for two teams in that division, size was always a big deal to us, you know. And the interesting thing of that, which you can kind of contradict yourself, is we need the size to be able to hold up physically. Well, Carson Wentz has been injured in his career, and Jared Goff, who's skinnier, hasn't missed a start. So that kind of, you know, quells that argument a little bit. But I remember, you know, Derek Anderson we took, and I've told this story a bunch, but when we were in Baltimore, we had a choice in the sixth round. It was Derek Anderson or Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that was kind of who we were going to go with to be who's going to be our developmental quarterback for the future. And I did all the quarterbacks that year, and I ended up having Derek over him. I thought he's bigger, he's stronger, he's got more upside just in terms of his tools that he possesses. So he fits the AFC North a little bit better than Fitzpatrick does. Now, Fitzpatrick did a nice job with the Jets last year, but I'll still
made a lot of money.
It's about the fit your team, too.
And when all these stats, because we had the Wentz Pro Day, all these Browns quarterback stats came up, you know, their win-loss record, which doesn't get solely attributed to the quarterback. Derek Anderson, when you stack him up with everything they've had in Cleveland since 1999, probably the best one that they've had.
Well, I tweeted out something earlier this year, last year when he played well filling in for Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. What would have been wrong if Cleveland hadn't just kept Derek Anderson the entire time? That ridiculous shirt with all the names, just stop it,
yeah.
Anderson. It wouldn't have
been
any worse.
Yeah, that would have been a blast. Yeah,
well,
it would have been so much fun.
But I think when you look at, I mean, I don't know where you guys would stack him up with backup quarterbacks. And like, I think he's one of the best backup quarterbacks.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
All right.
You love Carson Wentz, by the way. It's obvious how much DJ wants.
I liked him. You know, it's just
he's afraid that the Browns are going to take him.
It's funny. It's funny to me because, you know, look, very early on in the process, I'm not a jerk, so I don't do it. But you almost want to save some of the replies that you get on mockcasts and on tweets, because when I came up with my first one, I think on my first mock draft, I had him going 2 to Cleveland, and then I have him – he still remained in my 7th overall player in the draft, and I got so much vitriol, and people lost their minds. And then now it just kind of become, as we get closer to it, it's just kind of accepted, you know.
People lose their minds on mock drafts, which
they
are
do.
Entirely meaningless.
It's hilarious to me.
All right, DJ, so Mayock has the pound the table, guys. That's his phrase. You should be making money off.
Stand on the table.
Are you a lot?
Stand on the table. First of all, do you have a phrase?
I'm surprised you even can say Mayock's name in front of DJ. You know, it's like saying Schefter around Ian Rappaport.
Me and Mike get along well. That's total scout speak, though.
All right.
Stand on the table.
Who are your guys? Who are your guys that you love above all guys? I think we just talked about one in Wentz. But is there a couple other guys maybe that you absolutely are in love with at this time and you want to just praise them?
I've had another quarterback that I've kind of been.
So you're it.
Riding throughout the whole process, and I think he's going to be a value guy. I think you get him in the 3rd round, maybe you even get him in the 4th round. Brandon Allen from Arkansas. Mm. Everybody laughed about the hand size and the whole massage deal. And
that guy.
He is a good player, man. When you study him, it's like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, two really, really good opponents. He plays well in those games. Comes under center in that pro style system at Arkansas, which I like. The kid, you know, one of the things Ozzie would always ask in interviews of players, which I always took note of, he would always ask, and you should do this when you're trying to hire people underneath you guys as you continue to rise up
I'm
and control
taking
this
notes.
Entire network, is what's the toughest thing you've ever overcome? you know, personally and in your playing career. Because the NFL, if you look at the guys that have flamed out, a lot of them never had any adversity at all in their life or as a football player, and they couldn't handle it. I mean, obviously Ryan Leaf is kind of the poster child for that, right? Got some adversity, couldn't handle it. You look at Brandon Allen, somebody who, when he was struggling earlier in his career, they egged his house, they egged his car at Arkansas. I mean, like, anything would scare this kid away. Just like, I'm transferring, I'm not putting up with this anymore. He stuck it out. He stayed there, battled through it, and that, to me, says a lot about who he is.
Yeah.
That's like Jason Street's backup in Friday Night Lights.
There you go.
A lot of parallels there.
It's good he didn't say his hand size was the biggest obstacle and that he's already overcome it.
Is that Mox?
What's that?
Mox, was that Friday Night
Mox is Varsity
Matt Sarrazin.
Oh, Sarrazin. Oh, yeah, Sarrazin.
You're thinking of Varsity Blues.
I do like Sarrazin.
Hey, Mox.
But Sarrazin, how is he pulling those hours? How is he pulling those work hours and yet still ready to go?
Well,
and
taking care of his grandma.
He wants it more. Yeah. He wants it more than you.
Tasty
he wants
freeze?
It more. He certainly wants it more than old, what's his name, J.D. McCoy.
Oh, so spoiled. The Tasty Freeze, is that the name of that place?
Yeah. I believe so. We really dipped into fake quarterbacks very quickly. we have a couple of minutes left. Let's ask one more.
6 minutes.
6 minutes. Let's ask one more question about this college football game that people enjoy.
By the way, I'm just curious.
And then I got to talk about
I know
UFOs.
You guys are NFL fans, so let me ask you guys a question. Can we just go around the table and tell me, I know maybe you're not hardcore college fans, but who's your favorite college team? Because I don't know. Greg, who's your favorite college team?
It's good.
The closest thing is Tulane. You know where I went.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Tulane.
Big Sean King guy. Go ahead.
Northeastern disbanded their college team, so Notre Dame I grew up as a fan.
You were a Notre Dame fan? Who we got here, Wes?
I was Notre Dame growing up. Now I didn't graduate from any of these places.
Agnostic at all.
I have
nothing.
I have no school that I went. No I transferred
soul.
Like 12
I,
times.
Soulless.
The problem. But my dad and I grew up in upstate New York before we moved, and my dad loved Syracuse, so I stick with him on that one.
What's your team other than obviously Appalachian State?
I grew up a USC fan.
So you're still
I'm
still
a Southern
like
California
UC?
Kid.
Okay.
But I want to know, this is curious to me. No, you have no team that you root for.
DJ has taken over the show.
You have no team that you root for. But how about, is there a team you enjoy watching lose in college football?
No, and I don't want to get too heavily into this, but I absolutely fear and loathe the NCAA as an institution.
Okay, there we go. That's all I need. By the way, what you're talking about, Willis Arnold picture on his laptop.
That's good.
It's a very themed episode.
Ties it together.
Going here.
DJ remembers back when Tulane was in the top 10.
I can tell you my Tulane story. I'll give you the Tulane scouting story.
Wow.
I go to watch J.P. Lossman and Mawelde Moore.
Oh, I love Mawelde Moore.
They're playing against Navy. And when you're scouting quarterbacks, you always want to go see them play live. Not only can you see them throw the football, but you can see them interact with their teammates. So I'm watching him, and, man, first of all, you're a first-round quarterback with a running back who I think went in the second round, right, to the Steelers.
Yeah, second or third.
You should be able to beat Navy or at least be competitive here. This team won like two – Tulane was terrible.
Yeah.
And he was – I wrote down in my notes, he had all the wristbands and all that, too cool for school. Like, just it was such a bad vibe I got from him.
Wow.
From that live game. So I was kind of – I was off him. And there's a quarterback in this draft class that I got the exact same vibe on, but I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Oh,
I
know.
It was – No,
I'm not saying.
It was Paxton Lynch.
I'm not saying.
Out of Memphis.
I'm not saying.
It's Connor Cook.
I believe
– No, you're right, by the way. Mawelde Moore was the captain, and there was a big divide. It was like a story back there. There was a big divide on the team. If your quarterback
has a
divide
– I gave Mawelde Moore a big grade, by the way. I like Mawelde.
He
nice
went
career.
Fourth round to the Vikings.
Yep. Is that what it was?
I think he did.
I like Mawelde Moore.
Any other Tulane football talk before
he has
Matt Forte?
How much time do we have left, DJ?
We are down to
– I have a question.
3.5 minutes.
Okay, 3.5 minute countdown.
Where should Ezekiel Elliott go, or where do you think he's going to go?
He's my sixth overall player, so I don't argue with – you know, people have talked about him.
Any chance he lasts to the Raiders at 14?
I think there's a chance, yeah. I think there's definitely a
chance.
That
would be a good match.
The teams that – the Cowboys kind of control this draft. What they do at 4 can kind of really kind of –
So they could go –
Elliott, why do you say
they
that?
They could go Joey Bosa. They could go quarterback.
That's the whole thing. That's the three people, and that'll determine kind of what
slides. I
mean,
they got to know Wentz at the Senior Bowl, too, the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, exactly. So you look at quarterback, you look at pass rusher, you look at running back, and if whatever one they don't take could lead to somebody picking after 10, 11, 12, in that range, getting a player they never thought they'd have a shot at.
What about this? Do you see anyone, gun to head, jumping up to number one?
You know, a lot of people are predicting this, but I don't see it because the teams that need you go up to number one only for a quarterback. That's it, in this draft class especially. So if you're the Cowboys, you're not going to trade picks to go up there and get somebody that's going to sit behind Romo for a couple of years. I've been adamant they should take one at four, but not trading capital to go up there. So take them out.
But that means maybe they trade up to San Diego at three to get ahead of Dallas, or who knows?
Yeah, but all the way up to number one. And then I look at San Francisco as another team, and that's just not really their style, the way they do things.
They need every draft pick.
The team you could make the case for that should, if you're going to trade all the way up there to get a quarterback, is the Rams. You're coming to L.A. Maybe you could put a package together of picks and maybe a player or two and
what
say,
pick
okay,
are they at?
We're going to go 15.
How will they go 7-9, though, if they hit on a quarterback?
Right. You've heard my thing on that, which I've changed. I just said that they should move the Indianapolis 500 to St. Louis, is what I used to say, because nothing epitomizes 500 more than the Rams.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah, them.
So the Eagles,
but they're moving out here. Maybe this will be good for them. Maybe they get over the hump here.
The Eagles moved up to number 8 reportedly because they see this is like a 10-player draft.
Yeah.
What do you? Where's the tier? Where does the tier end as far as you're concerned?
I kind of have it at that. You know, I have 6 players plus the 2 quarterbacks, so I kind of look at it as those 8 guys.
Okay.
So 6 position players, you know, outside the quarterback range, and then those 2 quarterbacks slide in there.
The 6 players are.
The 6 players are, we look at Tunsil, Ramsey, Miles Jack, Bosa, DeForest Buckner, and Ezekiel Elliott.
There you go.
You could check out Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft on NFL.com. You could check him out on Path to the Draft, 6 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Check out the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks. Is it twice a week or are we once a week?
We do a video, the YouTube thing, once a week, and then the audio deal is twice a week.
It's good to see you two have put your differences behind you, the two Dans.
We have.
It took a while. Actually, it took some therapy together.
Well, it's all for show.
He's the Mr. Drummond to my Todd Bridges. That's what
it is. Finally, before you go, are you a believer? You see the Aaron Rodgers UFO story?
I actually have not. I've been so immersed in this draft.
He told the story on a podcast that he saw a UFO in 2005 in New Jersey. Do you believe in life beyond us?
I do not believe in UFOs.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
Yeah. You're on my
I think head. I left the question too open-ended. Yeah. I got banged.
I think we're still thrown off by the definition of UFO.
Mm. Okay. For another, the next
alien
time you're on
life forms, he's basically.
By the way.
Alien life forms.
At the 22nd.
Damn it, I missed my end.
Show, and then he hits me with the UFO question. Way to spend your time wisely there, man. See you.
Thanks, DJ.
There he is.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you.
A closing shot at me, but I still respect the man. How could you not? Daniel Jeremiah, move the sticks. Off to his next job.
Check out his next.
And looking good, by the way, for a man that blew his Achilles. His body's still looking great.
Very fit.
Save that for the body podcast.
Very swift.
And there he goes, Daniel Jeremiah.
What a man.
He's on top of the world right now.
He is. He's very sharp. And it is, you know, as Greg knows, led to some consternation with Greg and I that, you know, I get a little defensive about competing podcasts. But DJ and Bucky, they do their own thing, and they know their stuff. Everybody should listen to it if you're like a college fan.
DJ knows so much. Like I would love to like get him like tied up in a chair and have him drink truth serum because there's so much. There's things he's telling us, but what he knows about that he's not telling anyone. That's where the goods
are. Interesting. Your mind immediately went to tying him up.
Well, when someone takes truth serum, right? Strange. Don't they typically have them like you don't? You
but
know,
taking another man into like a dungeon area and tying him up,
like a kidnapping scenario, seems
for his
dramatic.
NFL knowledge.
Nothing in the broom closet but one dangling 100 watt light bulb.
Yeah, I mean that's the, you know we need
sounds
to go
hot.
That road.
I mean it's erotic.
It's not a hotness thing. Oh. I'm trying to get information out of him.
It's not a hotness thing.
Okay, that's it for Thursday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Marks, thanks for coming back and being a live wire in a big spot. Great show.
Great to see you again.
Great content.
It's good to have you back.
We will be back next week, Monday, maybe Tuesday. We haven't quite decided yet, with a brand new show talking about, guess what, the football, but also some other thing, you know, slice of life type stuff, a little mirth in there. You never know what we're going to talk about. Until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the Bears, no, the boss, nailed it, and the Irishman behind the glass. Till next week!
Still, one of my favorite ATM podcasts ever is when he hosted last year. Dan, when you were out on vacation.
Did he?
Oh, that was funny, yeah.
Oh, it's so great. And he opens up and he's like, you know, welcome to Room Filled with Heroes.
Yeah.
He's like, you're wondering where Dan Hansis is? No, he has been fired. So it was so great.
Is that the last time he was on, I think?
Oh, really? He wasn't on during the whole season?
No.
No, oof. Right?
No, he wasn't welcome back after that.
Oh, that's great.